Grace, mercy, and peace be with you this morning from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. I bring you greetings this morning from Breath of God Lutheran Church in Baltimore, Maryland, from the Delaware, Maryland Synod, and from the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Gettysburg. It is an absolute joy and an honor and a privilege to be able to be with you this morning, to be able to bring the word to you, and to be able to worship with you here in this beautiful space, in this wonderful place together. I can fairly and pretty still distinctly remember my first day of college, as most people can when something major and important is happening in your life. Those kind of days tend to stand out. I went to Lenoir-Rhyne College, which is a Lutheran college, now university, in Hickory, North Carolina, and it was the first day of classes, and you know, there's usually an opening convocation or something, you know, when all the professors get dressed up and you sing the alma mater and people get up and talk at you for a while and all that. It was the first year of our new college's president as well, and so this was his opening address and his opening convocation for us. And he gets up and he begins his line that day with, "Time flies like arrows, fruit flies like bananas." And we all kind of stop and look at each other and say, "Oh, well, I guess he has a point. Yeah, okay, but it's been always one of those lines that has kind of stuck with me from year to year and kind of always something that kind of comes back into my mind anytime I approach a reading or I hear something or someone kind of talking about time and about the way in which time works. Because time's kind of an interesting thing or a funny thing. It's something that kind of keeps rolling and keeps going. I mean, we have no control over it. We have no say over it. Even though we find ways to waste it, we don't really have any ways to save time or to preserve time as it keeps kind of moving along and coursing and going throughout history. Our reading this morning is directed pretty directly at that, at this understanding of time. You see, when Jesus came and lived and died and was resurrection and ascended into heaven, all the early believers and all the early church thought, assumed, believed that he was coming back soon, like in their lifetime, like he was just going to go away for a bit and then come back and it'll be great. So they all needed to be ready and on hand and prepared at all times because he was coming back soon. But as the days kind of kept ticking away and the months and then the years, they kind of decided that maybe we should start writing some of these things down, you know. Maybe we should start having record and have notations and things like that we can go back to and read and to remember because time is still rolling and time is still continuing. The early church, and around when this was written, the early church was a place of a little bit of anxiety, of things up in the air, where nobody really knew what was going on. This Christianity thing was still just 30, 40, 50, 60 some years old, and it was still kind of a new thing. Folks were still trying to figure out and organize their thoughts and beliefs and how they felt about things. You know, they didn't have clear teachings of the church. They didn't have clear creeds yet, as that was still being written. They didn't have social statements on medical care or anything like that that our modern church has today. But they came into this place having this understanding that Christ was coming back and was coming back at some point, at some time, but that they didn't know when and when that was going to be happening. If you've heard a sermon on this subject before, on this topic before, it's probably come back around to one word, and that was probably diligence. You know, this kind of understanding of we need to stay on task, we need to stay on goal, we need to be constantly ready and constantly prepared, constantly having our ducks in order and everything in line because we don't know when Christ is going to come back, when the world is going to somehow cease or whatever is going to happen at that end time, but that this time is going to continue to roll, but we need to be ready and prepared for when the Master comes back. I don't think there's anything wrong with that understanding or that teaching, but I think that there's something deeper or something behind this that we need to be looking out for. I would say probably if you're anything like me, you can't necessarily go 5 minutes without wanting to check your email, though, or checking into Facebook. Being from Baltimore, I'm trying to check up on the latest news about the Orioles and the Ravens at all possible moments of my day when I have free time. And so, you know, my mind wanders, and you might be interested or wanting to check in, and these are in the words of Pastor Wayne from a few years ago, how those loser punk Mariners are doing. I mean, you might want to, he said it, not me, okay? So don't look at me for that one. But we get distracted. We have troubles. We fall in these times and fall into these places where any number of other things are on our mind. Any number of these other things kind of come into the forefront and kind of distract us or get us off of the goal or off of the task. And so what I think we need to be diligent about is about this one verse that I think oftentimes gets misinterpreted or misread or misheard. The line itself and the way that the line itself says is that where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Where your treasures are, there your heart will be also. I think oftentimes we feel or we think that, well, where my heart is where I should be putting my treasures. But that's a little bit backwards from the way we're told to go into things. You know, when you put your time, when you put your energy, when you put your effort, when you put your very, like, mindset and full self into something, you drift and you go in that direction. When you invest in something, when you buy something, when you do something, you give money to a charity and you start being concerned and wondering what that charity is about. You donate to the furniture drive for LVC and you start to be interested and wondering about the types of people that are going to be living and working through that stuff. You buy money for a play or a concert or an opera and you're very curious as to what that's going to be and what it's going to be like and what they're performing. You see, that's the way I feel that we're being called to be into our church and our lives of faith as well. You know, because if you're just saying, well, where my heart is, then my treasures will follow as well, that doesn't quite work out, and I'm sure you can attest to that as well. There have been many times in my life where I've wanted to say, oh, yeah, it's going to be really good if I get in shape, and you know, and I go running, and I think about going running often, but that doesn't spurn me to actually go out and to do anything. It becomes a very passive, and it becomes the very thing in the background that I'm just thinking of or dreaming of that never actually happens. What our gospel is telling us this morning and what we need to be diligent about is by putting our time, our energy, our efforts, the things that we hold most dear, our treasures, our very talents, into something that our lives and our hearts will follow that. And what I think we're being called to be and called to live into this morning is to be diligent in using our gifts and our talents and our ability, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to say it, our finances and money as well, to be able to live into the calling that we have as disciples of Jesus Christ, as people that are living out the very gospel in their day-to-day lives. You can't just sit back and think and say, oh, well, wouldn't it be nice if I donated to this church, to Lutheran World Relief, to a local community center? Wouldn't it be nice if I invited a friend with me from work to come to church with me? Wouldn't it be nice if I said, well, let me go just pick up that shut-in on my way to church this morning and take them? But it's when you actually turn that and flip that to the other side and you said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to call up, and you actually do it, that shut it and say, can I pick you up and bring you to church on Sunday? Or you contact and you call up Pastor Wayne and say, hey, I would love to be able to teach Sunday school this year. And you actually step up and you actually do it. Your heart will follow. What you care about and what you desire in life will take shape as to where you're putting your life and where you're putting your work and where you're putting your talents and your treasures. It's not this just sitting and passively thinking our way into being. It's about doing. It's about acting our way into being. And that's what I think the gospel is calling us to be diligent to and towards this morning. It's about where we can live into that discipleship. Where we can live into that calling. If we sit and actually sit down and study and read the Bible, we'll see where the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. When we come out and help out gardening at the church or volunteer in the office, we'll see the ways in which our gifts and talents and abilities are able to be used and are useful, and we'll find ways in which we can find new ways to serve and new ways to help and new ways to be active in our faith lives and in our church. And that's what I think the amazing thing is. Because time is going to continue to move on. Time is going to continue to roll and roll and roll into the future. But I don't think that we're called to live a passive life. I don't think that we're called to live a life that is just us sitting and just letting that time roll by. But we're called to live a life that's active, that's engaging with our community and those that are around us, that are sharing the gospel and spreading the good news, and are using the gifts and the talents and the abilities that we've been given, because we've all been given something special and unique and amazing towards us. What I think is one of the very truly beautiful things about our faith and about our church is the way that the Holy Spirit works through us. When we simply put ourselves out there and say, Lord, use me. I'm here. Let me do something. Show me where you would have me to go. And we start putting our time and our energy and our efforts into following that, into studying the word, into gathering in small groups, into coming to worship and volunteering and helping out, and you seeing where the Holy Spirit takes us. That's what I think is truly the amazing thing and the beautiful thing about our faith that we're being called to live into. It's not just a life of sitting back and relaxing and letting time roll on, but being active and forthright and purposeful about our time and how we're spending our energy and our efforts and what we're doing with our lives that we've been given. Between usually your first and second year of seminary, you do something that's called CPE, which is clinical pastoral education. For most seminarians, it looks like going to a hospital and being a chaplain for a summer. So I spent 10 weeks in between my first 2 years of seminary working at Georgetown University Hospital in Washington, D.C. And I was very happy and surprised and amazed to be at a Catholic Jesuit hospital and to find another Lutheran in the program with me as well. And so her and I, of course, became very quick friends and fast friends. And there was many times throughout that summer where we would have our little conversations and talk and converse about, you know, the church and where the church is going. And being good seminarians, we always had this pie in the sky, you know, well, this is what churches need to do, and this is the way to build a church, and this is the way in which the things should be and church should operate. But we were kind of naive seminarians and still are to many regards. But she said something very profound one day in one of our conversations. We were sitting and we were talking about the church-wide decision about sexuality and same-sex marriages and all that. And she said, you know what, Andrew? I have faith and I trust that the Holy Spirit has been at work in the lives of the church, in the lives of the saints that have gone before us from where we have been in the past. I have faith and I trust that right now in this conversation you and I are having right now that the Holy Spirit is at work in this conversation we are having. And so because I have faith in what the Holy Spirit has done to bring us to this point, the way that the Holy Spirit is working in this conversation right here and now, I have that same faith and hope and trust that the Holy Spirit's going to lead us and guide us into where we're going and into the future as well, because I know that's not going to change, because the Holy Spirit has brought us to this point and has led us to this point. And I think that's what the amazing thing and the beautiful thing is about our faith, is that when we are being diligent and engaging our lives, using our gifts, our talents, and our abilities, and where that will take us, we have this amazing and beautiful and wonderful thing that's called our imagination that gets engaged as well. And that's the ways in which the Holy Spirit works through us. When we're sitting back and we're just passively being, we're not being creative, we're not using ourselves or using our brain the way that we could. But when we are engaging our passions, when we're engaging the things that make us feel alive and that we love to do, when we're engaging the ways in which we can share the gospel and bring that to people, and using the gifts we have, the Holy Spirit is enlivened in us, and our imagination becomes just phenomenal and amazing in the things that we can come up with. It may just start with coming and helping out in the gardens. It may just start with coming and helping out with Sunday school. But when you start getting your brain thinking in that direction, moving in that direction, engaged in the work of the church, the work of the Holy Spirit, who knows what the possibility may be? Who knows where things may go? Who knows what may happen to this church? And I think that's the very truly amazing thing, that we have been brought to this place, this very moment in history, this one very special spot, gathered together on this Sunday morning, and I have faith, and I believe that you do too, that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us and guide us as we go from this place. And so as we do, my prayer for you, my petition to you is to engage your lives. Engage that life of faith, engage that discipleship that you have been given, and to see what amazing and wonderful places the Holy Spirit's going to take you. Because God is good, God has brought us to this point, and God is going to take us into the next chapters as this world continues to turn and these days continue to move. But the Holy Spirit is at work and is at work in us, and it's about us being diligent in our lives to lead an engaged life of faith. Amen.